Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What up, y'all? We are back with another edition of the DNVR Rams podcast. As always, I'm your host, Justin Michael. I was able to catch up with my good friend, Kevin Lytle, the Fort Collins Coloradoan. Always appreciate when he gives me some of his time for the show. Had a busy day, a ton of meetings, but he squeezed us in. He's the man. I certainly appreciate it. I know you guys are going to enjoy the conversation. We went back and forth on CSU men's basketball and CSU football. Really successful 24-hour period. Both programs were able to land a significant transfer. We talked about Nikola Zappa, the 7-foot Serbian that Niko Medved was able to land out of Long Island University. Why Ram fans probably need to be patient with him, but he's certainly an intriguing prospect. We talked about the battle for minutes and how it's going to be really stiff competition for spots in the starting five this year, and that's important. I mean, this is a different spot than year two or year three under Niko Medved. You're an established program with success. I know that, you know, losing likely your entire starting five, that's going to temper expectations to an extent, but you're able to reload in modern basketball. So I think this team has a chance to be pretty good. It was fun, though, to pick Kevin's brain on all of that. We also talked about Armoni Weaver, the former 4-star prospect that is transferring from Baylor to CSU. How the big athletic wide receiver fits kind of a theme of the additions this offseason. The offense as a whole, at least on paper, I think is pretty intriguing going into 2024. And then at the very end, I asked Kevin what the top three pizza places in Fort Collins are. I'm a pizza snob. I've worked at multiple pizza restaurants in my life. I eat pizza every single week without fail, sometimes twice a week. I know that's not good, but I love it. So I just thought it'd be kind of a fun off-season topic to discuss, go back and forth. I encourage you to tell us why we are right, why we are wrong. I'm sure my opinions on Cosmos being overrated will certainly strike a chord with some. Instead of teasing the entire interview here, I think we'll just go ahead and get to that conversation with Kevin Lytle. Real quick, trucks have always been a part of Toyota's DNA for generations. Toyota has built durable legends destined for greatness and perfect for Colorado. Whether you're conquering off-road trails or hauling the weight of the world, there's a Toyota truck that's just right for you. Like the all-new 2024 Tacoma or the return of the iconic 2024 Land Cruiser, Toyota offers 17 models with available all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive like the Epic 4Runner. They also offer more low and zero emission vehicles combined than any other automaker to give customers numerous choices to reduce their carbon footprint. There are 16 different hybrid vehicles to choose from, like the Tundra iForce Max hybrid truck. Not to be outdone though, Toyota SUVs take command on the road and on the trail, so you can explore the road less traveled without sacrificing smooth city rides in SUVs like the RAV4 and Grand Highlander. Toyota is a proud partner of CSU Athletics and the official vehicle of DNVR. I also want to talk to you guys about the Circa Sportsbook app, which is available for download in the state of Colorado. Circa Sports does not limit players based on their winnings. Every player has the same limits, unlike other books who do limit their player winnings. They strive to give you the best possible odds. At Circa, when you're getting minus 110 splits, you might be getting minus 115 or minus 120 elsewhere. Their customer service is awesome. There's real people behind the Circa Sports brand who resolve issues in a timely fashion. Other places, they're using chatbots and whatnot. Download the app at circusports.com. Circus Sports bets can be made while physically located in the state of Colorado. Must be 21 or older. All rights reserved. Circus Sports Colorado encourages you to gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-GAMBLER or visit problemgamblingcolorado.org. All right, we've got the man, the myth, the legend, Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan on the pod. Kevin, first things first, thanks for doing this, man. We always appreciate you being a friend of the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to be here. A nice, slow off season with no news, right?
Yeah, I mean, just nothing to talk about. Really boring 24 hours if you're a CSU fan. In typical fashion, it all comes out at the same time. So we've got a lot to dive into. Let's start on the hoops front, though. I started with football the last time I talked about this. So the Rams, they have added 5 transfers over the last calendar week. Most recently, Nikola Zappa, 7-footer from Long Island University, originally out of Serbia. He committed yesterday. What was your, I guess, just gut instant reaction to this big news?
Yeah. You know, one of the bigger guys CSU has landed, you know, just size-wise, I mean. You know, and they've rebolstered the front court, you know, with some size. You know, he's a guy that on the surface I expect is probably, you know, a reserve, you know, bench player, but add some size off the bench, which is one thing that CSU's kind of been lacking. And now you have 4 bigs with him, Crocker Johnson, Bimba, and then Jorgensen coming in. That I think it seems like they probably have a varied skill set amongst the 4. And then because you do have 4, you have a little bit of protection for both injuries and foul trouble. And, you know, basically guys can play their way into minutes this summer. You know, because I think in different ways, all 4 have significant question marks with them. Not in a bad way, just, you know, what are they or are they not going to be this coming year? So it's an intriguing group for sure.
I'm glad that you mentioned that you think he's going to come off the bench, at least initially, because one of the things that I talked about kind of breaking him down on the last podcast is that he seems like a guy whose ceiling could be incredibly high. You look at his traits, you look at just the size alone makes him intriguing, but to have that much skill, that much athleticism. I also made it clear that fans need to be patient and that it's going to be a process. Like, this guy could be incredible. I mean, he might end up being, you know, like one of the premier steals that they've ever had, but he's making a massive jump up going from the Northeastern Conference to the Mountain West. He's not going to be on campus till later this summer because he's going to be with the Serbian national team. It wouldn't shock me if, especially like November, December, there's some lumps with him early on and, you know, guys might be watching him and feeling like, I mean, he's big, but like, hey, what the heck? I thought we were getting a superstar. Just be patient.
Yeah, definitely. And that, you know, that's my edge case guess that he'll, you know, be a reserve guy. But again, like I said, you can play your way into minutes, whether it's him or someone else. And some of it could be how the staff ends up wanting lineups to shake up. And you could have him as sort of your, you know, true center in the middle and play a Crocker Johnson at 4 or something like that, or Bimba at 4. So you have some options. But yeah, I think again, there's sort of this fan obsession about getting a 7-footer, and you know they did, but that again, that doesn't mean he's going to be a star immediately. Probably, like you say, a guy that you know, there's a developmental path here, and that's how you hope. You know, a 3-year guy, you know, doesn't necessarily need to be a star year one. You know, you hope he can grow. You know, getting time with, you know, guys like Tim Shelton and Cooley, I think, will be really good for skill development. But yeah, I think if you're thinking he's going to come in and, you know, put up numbers to match another Serbian big name, Nikola, in Colorado, probably not that.
Yeah, I said yesterday, probably not going to be a triple-double machine right off the bat. But that said, with his skill set, if you had to, like, guess, could he do it at some point? Maybe. I mean, he's a pretty good passer at that.
That's intriguing. You know. Yeah, for sure. It's an intriguing ad.
Who, out of these transfers, is, in your estimation, and this is obviously way too early, like we got to see how everything shakes out this fall, but at least as of now, early May, who jumps out to you as maybe the most intriguing addition or maybe the most beneficial for this upcoming season?
Yeah, I'll kind of split out, maybe do two answers. I think maybe your surest bet might be Bowen Bourne. He's undersized, but a lot of success, you know, in a good league, you know, in a good program at Northern Iowa. He seems like a guy that more likely than not is going to be able to come in and score the basketball pretty well. Like that feels, I'd be surprised if he can't do that. But I'm a little torn on the most intriguing. I can make a pretty good case for either Keyshawn Williams or Jalen Crocker Johnson just because of, you know, the athletic potential. You know, Keyshawn Williams was really, really good, like probably a very high major guy before he blew his knee out. So how will, you know, he recover and, you know, flourish in this offense? He feels like a guy that could really flourish. But then Crocker Johnson, again, big athleticism talent. Obviously was very successful last year at a smaller league. So I'm very intrigued to see how that translates. And again, he's a 3-year guy in theory. See how he grows and develops. So those two I'm really fascinated by. And like I say, Bourne, I think is probably your safest bet that he's, you know, gonna be solid and gonna score you some points.
We've talked about this a little bit just like off the show, but I think it's a fine line right now when it comes to recruiting. And I really think you could make an argument either way in terms of if you have a point guard like Kyan, who played as a true freshman, seemingly is in line to become the starting point guard going into year two, that you should just lean in on that. And you shouldn't worry about, you know, bringing in another vet to potentially take some of his minutes because it might hinder his development. And you might, you know, cause him to, I guess, just question if he still wants to be here. Maybe he ends up leaving as a result. But the argument I've been making on the pod is just that, I mean, he might leave anyways if he balls out. And I don't have any info on Kyan. This is very generally speaking. But like, I think this is what you have to do because the risk of losing guys is so great no matter what you do. Like, you kind of just have to bring as much talent into the mix as you can and let it shake out from there.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that. I was talking to someone, around CSU. We were talking about the freshmen coming in and, you know, how's that, you know, do you risk guys leaving if you don't play them next year? Or yeah, the flip side of, you know, if they get overexposed, so to speak, and, a high major comes calling with $600,000, you know, can that happen? And yeah, I'm with you. I think you put together the best roster you can. You do within the season, do whatever you think is the move to win the most games that season. And then at the end of the season, that's when you go to work on trying to keep who you want to keep and add what you need to add and all that. I think the days of, you know, I know we saw some of this angst when some players were transferring of, oh, you know, this is why you have to play young guys so they don't leave. Like, no, you don't. You're, especially with this contract extension, Nico Medved and his staff are paid to win. They're paid to win this year. They're paid to win next year. They're paid to win the year after that. So you do whatever it is to win the most games this year. And then you worry about next year once the season ends. Because, yeah, there's no such thing as the long game anymore. Because, like you say, you could play a guy, you know, thinking you need to do that to keep him, and he could play himself out of the program. You could see a guy thinking he's going to develop and he could leave. You just don't know during the season. Like, obviously they have relationships and kind of know what guys are thinking, but I think in this day and age, until anything changes, you just put together whatever you think is the best combination to win as many games as you can in a given season. It's very much year to year now.
Well, and you've made this point in the past before, but like in terms of it also being a different stage of like how the game works, you can't really play the long game. Like the program's just in a different stage too. This isn't year two of Medved where you have to lean on the young guys because you have no other choice. Like it's a desirable spot to come in. You've got a lot of open minutes for a program that has had established success. And frankly, with the investment and, you know, the increase in pay for the coaches and everything else that comes with it, like, the expectation has been raised. It's not like a cute little, you're going to be expected to be in the conversation with San Diego State, with Nevada, and like the New Mexicos and Boise's of the world.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look at what San Diego State has lost this season, but I don't think, Brian Dutcher is going to be sitting there planning to, let's play for the following season, fellas. Like, that's what we're doing. Like, it's rosters are just year to year in a good way and bad way. Like, you know, I know it's frustrating for fans that, yeah, you don't know if these guys, you know, even these freshmen, you don't know if they're going to be here as sophomores. And, you know, that's why I keep saying, you know, in theory, a 3-year player, like these transfers, yeah, they have 3 years of eligibility. That doesn't mean they're all going to be at CSU. But the flip side of that is, you know, in a year like this, when CSU, you know, graduated, it's, you know, 5 of its top 7, another one, you know, is potentially off to the NBA. In, you know, 10 years ago, you'd be in for a poor year with a lot of youngsters. Whereas now you can rebuild your roster. And, you know, I don't know if this is a tournament team yet, but you have a chance to be pretty competitive because you brought in a mix of, you know, young, exciting talents and older, you know, kind of veteran guys.
Is it fair to say, and it's so early, like we got to see how everything shakes out, but what are your way too early expectations? So maybe not a tournament team. We'll have to see. I think some of that will be dependent on how deep the league is and all that. But I mean, it feels like a roster that certainly should be expected to at least push for like 20 plus wins again, be in the mix.
Yeah. It's fascinating. I mean, yeah. When I say, you know, don't know if it's a tournament team, I'm also not saying that's not. I think I just truly don't know. I mean, you and I have, you know, talked offline about like what's a potential 5, and, you know, I think we have an idea, but we don't really know. And I think that goes for the staff too. I think they have an idea of what their likely 5 and rotation is, but I don't think anyone is certain when you have, you know, what is it, 6 of your top 8 are new players, probably. I don't think we know. And because of that, you don't know how they're going to fit. You don't know how guys are going to respond, you know, against each other and in the Mountain West, how pieces will fit. I'm with you. You know, this seems like enough talent that you should be able to win. You know, you need to be better than 500. Certainly, I think, you know, even projecting like 20 wins or whatever, you know, we don't know the schedule yet. You know, Nico Medved told me he's going to schedule aggressively, and he does every year. So I believe that, but we don't know what those games are going to be. But yeah, I think there's a team that, you know, again, I think expectations rise and you hope to compete for postseason play. That's not necessarily an NCAA tournament every year, but I think you want to be in the mix for at least an NIT. And, you know, we'll see what this group looks like. I'm super fascinated and intrigued by it. I think it's kind of fun. And, you know, the freshmen are all a wild card. You know, of the 4, I would expect someone's going to earn playing time. I know Jaden Stepp is, you know, the real trendy social media guy right now. You know, whether it's him or someone else, I'm just intrigued to see it all work together because I don't know. None of us know. I think that's the thing. Like I totally get fans being really excited right now and, you know, shooting for the moon, and you should as a fan. But I think the real answer is we don't know. It's an intriguing group that seems to have a chance to be pretty decent. But I don't know if we really have any clue if it's decent to good to really good.
Well, and they have like, there's so many guys where it's, you could see him being the 2 or the 3, depending on what the lineup plays out with.
Yeah.
They're just going to have so much versatility, which is intriguing.
This staff loves that. Yeah.
Yeah.
They love those guys that can, you know, guys that can go 2 to 4.
Is your gut still that Neek stays in the draft?
Yeah. Right now, that's where I kind of lean. The combine and what we hear after that is going to be really interesting. And, you know, he'll follow the combine with individual team workouts too. So that's really where, you know, the cliche, where the rubber hits the road. But yeah, right now I would say more likely than not that Neek is going pro is my vibe from everyone I talk to.
Assuming he does move on and they have one scholarship to fill, easy answer would be just go find another wing. That's, you know, Clifford's position, obviously. Are there any other holes, though, that you feel like they maybe would need to address, or do you kind of like what they've done as of now?
Yeah, I mean, the true point guard position is intriguing. Obviously, Kyan Evans is that. Of the transfers, you know, do you have a true point in there? Not sure there. But on the flip side, are you going to get a true point in late June that will be, you know, worth having? Probably not. So yeah, if Neek goes, I would think that last scholarship would probably be a multi-year probably for the future type of guy, if I had to guess.
Me too. It'll be interesting. Maybe they dip down into the D2, D3 levels again, like see if you can take a chance on a guy or something.
Yeah,
like
that's why I wonder. You know, they've obviously had a lot of success there. Obviously, we know they recruited a couple of those guys. Obviously, Baskin was the big, you know, the most obvious one. But I still wonder if they might be searching in that area for a diamond in the rough. You know, Joe Palmer was a guy that was a late, he was basically the same position. That spot was there because of the late David Roddy decision. And, you know, obviously that ended up working pretty decent.
All right, we'll get right back to that interview with Kevin Lytle, but I want to talk to you guys about Breck Brew's new West Coast style IPA, Ridge Runner. This double dry hop brew is inspired by the untamed beauty of Colorado's trails. Hop back infused with whole cone hops and a double dose of citra lupulin powder creates notes of bright citrus and pine. Breckenridge Brewery is the official craft beer of DNVR, and they have a beer for any occasion. Check out the Breck Beer Locator at breckbrew.com to find a brew near you. Finally, if you're not in the Circle K inner circle, then you are literally losing money. This is a free membership. It's easy to download. You can just use the QR code when you're at the pump, or you can pull up the app, just enter your email and phone number, then you're going to be fully enrolled. You're going to save 25 cents a gallon for your first 5 fill-ups. You're also going to get 5 Polar Pops for free. Sign up at CircleK.com/innercircle for more information on how to become an Inner Circle member. I don't want to take up too much of your time, but obviously a big news for the football program too. They bring in Armoni Weaver, former 4-star wide receiver, comes over from Baylor with 3 years to play. Just what are your thoughts on the newest weapon? Surprised at all that they went receiver? I know Norvell said after the spring game that they would consider it if the right guy was on the table. Weaver considered one of, if not the top remaining receiver available in the portal. But I do think there's maybe an argument they had some bigger holes.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting. You know, they can obviously still add, and I expect probably will still add in some spots. I think corner is the one where we all have an eyebrow raised, so maybe need a little more. But yeah, you know, guy from Baylor, former 4-star recruit, you know, didn't have a ton of, you know, catches or targets at Baylor, but, you know, Winfield seems like a guy that has, you know, the physical tools to be good. And, another veteran guy, which I think you need because you have a lot of youngsters in there. So now you have a pretty good mix, I think, of Horton Goffney, Ollie Winfield, and then a bunch of young guys, and let them duke it out to get the time. But, you know, on surface, it seems good. You know, the thing with high majors, it can go multiple ways. It can be a guy that, you know, good guy, works hard, just, you know, was kind of buried on the depth chart a bit. Or sometimes, you know, I don't want to name names and trash guys, but that maybe had the physical tools, but just didn't, you know, didn't really grow beyond that in college, which we've seen before. So I would imagine he's probably more of the was just buried on the depth chart and wants a chance. Just knowing the staff and how the receiver success they have, but I think it makes sense and some add weapons. It's going to be a big athletic receiving core. You know, Ollie is a big guy. You know, the new one here is big. Jackson Warren, really big guy at tight end. Obviously, we know what Torrey is. So it's a talented group for sure.
I'm going to be interested to see, especially like when the number one offense goes against the number one defense, because I think the number one offense, I think, is going to be quite a bit bigger than the number one defense.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Isaiah Sissima, you know, one of your starting corners, who I really grew to like during spring. He attacks the ball, but, you know, he's a pretty little guy. They list him at 5'10", 175. And, you know, listing is always the maximum possible of what they are. So yeah, they're going to – that'll be a battle for sure. So I guess that's a good thing. If the defense can hold up in practices, that would probably be a good sign.
Well, and I mean, if you're – offense was probably always going to, if this team is good, be the strength of the unit. But I think, you know, if you're CSU, you got to feel pretty good, at least on paper. Again, you know, we all know how the former 4-star stuff, sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But I mean, there aren't going to be a ton of corners in the Mountain West that are 6 foot plus. And if they have one, they probably don't have two. But I mean, you look at this lineup between Ollie and Warren, and now, like you mentioned, with Armani coming in, like all those guys, 6'2", 215 plus.
Yeah. It's a big group. I think it's a really fascinating offensive group. I'm really excited to just intrigued to see Jackson Warren in fall camp. I mean, the staff is clearly very excited about him, but he's also a guy that's new to the position and doesn't have FBS experience. So, a big, again, not in a negative way, but a question mark just to see, how he fits into a new role.
Before we get out of here, I have been tagged in some stuff from like various accounts online, kind of posting and asking people what are like the top places to eat in Fort Collins. And that sparked a whole dialogue in my mentions, which was fun to see, but you got a lot of different responses. I didn't want to put that much pressure on you because there's a lot of good places in Fort Collins to eat. But the most lively debate seemed to be about pizza places. I'm kind of a pizza snob to an extent. I've worked at a couple of spots. I eat a lot of pizza. I'm very opinionated. I like to hear what people think is the top pizza in Fort Collins. So I'm going to give the floor to you. Give me your top three pizza spots in FOCO.
Yeah, let's see. I have a few now. To go back in my day, I loved old Panhandlers. I know it still exists, but Panhandlers, when it was at Campus West, I ate so much of that in college. That was the absolute spot. So rip to Campus West Panhandlers. I know it still exists. It's actually right by my office, so I still pop by every now and then. But no offense, it's just not the same.
It's not quite
Campus West one.
Yeah.
Cosmos is real good. Slice if you just want a good slice. I love Crazy Carl's, of course, and the uniqueness of it and the good pizzas you can get there. And I live right by a Crazy Carl's, so that is maybe cheating there that they get benefit of the doubt there. And then I know there's so much, speaking of debate, like how people view this, if they even view it as pizza, but I will always stand Bojo's. I've loved Bojo's my whole life. I know it's not Fort Collins specific, but there's one in Fort Collins. I love that place and always will. So I'm not going to be mad about it.
I like it. I love Bojo's too. They're one of those, I don't really count them as a Fort Collins spot, like you said.
Right. Even though we do technically it's not really.
It. Yeah.
So I'm kind of cheating there, but I just love it. I haven't been there in forever either.
Here's my hot take for you. And I want it to be clear. I will eat any pizza from a Totino's to a gas station slice. Like I'm not going to turn up pizza at any point. Cosmos, though, in my opinion, wildly overrated. It's about convenience. It's the fact that you can get it by the slice. And everybody loves the ranch. And to me, it's like the McDonald's of pizza. Yeah, I'm going to take
it. Okay.
But
you know where I missed that I should probably replace is Casbah. Casbah's great.
I'm with you. So my top three would be Carl's, Mamaroni's, and Casbah. I love Mamaroni's toppings. I think they have they use the best. They always feel the freshest to me. I'm a big sausage guy. Anyways, that sounded weird. JJ's
clip that one.
Yeah. Pause, as the kids say.
Yep.
It's a good place to end it. Just that the
nice where was the there again? This is a way back in my day, like before I was even at CSU. What was it near campus? Woody's, is that right?
Is that still there?
No, that like I say, I remember because I had an older brother that went to school at CSU. I remember visiting and going, was it Woody? Someone will have to, mention us. But yeah, right near campus on Laurel there.
That's right. God, that makes me feel old.
Now, that was way back, like that was before I was at CSU, which is a disturbingly long time ago.
Have you ever been to that JJ's wood fired pizza?
I haven't.
Place? It's pretty good. It's like literally attached to a gas station.
Yeah, I know
station.
Where it is. Yeah, right. Hey, if you're attached to a gas station, you're probably sneaky good somehow. I need to get down to Bucky's.
Me too.
I've been in a Bucky's in the heart of Texas. So gotta see if this one matches up. I drove by this weekend and the line was like almost back to I-25. So I was like, well, no, I'm not going today.
That one might be something I hit up like in August once the hype's died down and I go on like a Tuesday afternoon or something.
I was gonna say that's where I'll use my weird sports report work hours and go midday in the middle of the week or something.
I love it. Thank you, man. This was always a blast. It's always great to have you on the show. Make sure you guys subscribe to the Coloradoans. We got to support local journalism when we can, especially when they kill it the way that the Coloradoan does. Do you have anything you want to tease that's coming up for the people to keep an eye on?
Yeah, I mean, kind of in line with what we were talking with football, I did an offense depth chart projection last week, and I'm about 70% done writing the counterpart for the defense. So I'll have that up by Wednesday morning at the latest. So yeah, look at both units, kind of what the depth chart should look like and where the question marks are.
Fall's going to be here before we know it, man. And enjoy the offseason while we can.
Big time.
Khakis wearing graphic tees, feeling way too trendy. Raps that kill, oh, I'm deadly. Primed and ready like machetes at a deli in New Delhi. Feeling scummy like Martin Scorsese. Turn jam into jelly, then drink it like juice. But water's the truth, so I sip on that too. Skinny looking kid with no car keys, like the only thing I drive is RC RVs. Got the stash like Steve Harvey. Oh, I'm gnarly.